Welcome to A Different Key Features. I didn't ask what I should call you. I should have asked you what I should call you before. Before this. Who are you? Introduce yourself.
I mean, you know me as Lennon, but 23K, 23K, 23K beats, yep, at the Instagram. You can find me there.
Yeah. This is the first episode of our little artist guest interview series. And I just thought I would bring one of my good friends on to talk to for the first one. And he's been wanting to, you know, hop in a podcast and talk to us about music and stuff for a while. So I figured, fuck it. Why not just do it right now?
Yeah.
So here we are. I am your host, Chris, joined today by Adrian and Joe, as always. So, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. You're welcome, Thank you for having me here.
No problem. We're chilling. So, where should we start?
I don't know. Perhaps by music taste?
Yeah. Tell us about your music. What do you listen to? What are your influences in the music you make? Stuff like that.
I mean, on the music I make, like, when I make music, I don't know if I'm really a fan of, like, I like playing something before, but, like, to the smoke session, for saying somehow. But, like, once it comes to making a beat, it's more than free mind. It's what you're feeling, you know, how we're feeling today. I like that phrase. I ask it a lot to the people that they come to make a beat with me. I ask them, like, okay, how are we feeling today? You know, what are we feeling? What do we want to do? But when it comes to playing music, shit, my music is really, like, big. When it comes to trap and hip hop, I basically listen to all, like, from Method Man to Suicide Boys and everything in between. I like metal a little bit, and now I'm getting into math rock, progressive jazz. I always listen to the Mars Volta, Stevie Ray Vaughan, all of that, like, Joe Satriani, Steve Vai. When I was a little boy, I used to love those guys. So yeah, it's been a good travel in the music.
Yeah, that's dope.
I want to know how long you've been playing guitar, because you showed us your brand new guitar that's very beautiful that you just got.
Yeah.
and I kind of want to know, like, what your kind of styles of guitar playing are like, and how you came about to playing the guitar.
I mean, when it comes to styles, to be honest, like, a cousin of a friend of mine, but he's been playing guitar a lot, he told me it's nice to jam for like 20 minutes, play whatever the fuck you want. If it comes to something sweet, you can record it. Like, I have this setup for recording a riff if I want to. I like, right now I'm trying to cover a lot of, like, Polyphia, Unprocessed, Jim Henson, Ichiganito, for, like, getting that fluency that they got and implementing it on my beats. By the way, for the people so that they know, I don't sing, I'm a producer, I make beats. I started playing guitar around 10 years old, for, like, answering your question. Right now I'm 24. But I stopped playing guitar around 16, where I started doing more hip-hop. I started rapping, and then I started producing, since I have this, like, musician background. Then I focused totally on producing. I quit rapping because I wasn't able to flow very well in the microphone. And after that, I basically just started producing, like, every day, making 6 beats, 5 beats, until I got to, it got me really far, to be honest. I got to to add beats to a freestyle contest in Chile named Leyenda del Free. I was on a label, but now I quit everything just for, like, looking for my own music, and I wanna be part of the future of the music, you know? The urban music has been playing for 30 years now, so nobody knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, and the fact that you're working on Polyphia covers, is like, that's still pretty bonkers to me.
Because
I mean, what's bonkers?
Polyphia.
To get clear.
Bonkers is like,
crazy.
Yeah, crazy.
Oh, insane. Like,
yeah, because like, it to me, polyphia is such a high level of skill, like the guitar play that I what Jim does.
Yeah, I mean,
and
I quit. I try to pass a lot of on the hybrid picking, and I do a lot of more picking behind, you know, so it kind of sounds the same, but it sounds more picky, obviously, like more pick played.
Yeah.
But since I'm fast with the pick, I've always been fast with the pick. Like before I used to make hip hop, I used to shred a lot. And with my electroacoustic guitar, I started to playing like, have you all seen August Rush, the movie?
I have, yeah.
Okay, yes. So that kind of style of electroacoustic guitar, you know? So when I got this new guitar,
cool.
I'm not like at the level of the guitar. It's a Ibanez AC premium. It's around 1.5. How do you say it? Say it, Chris. I don't know how to say money in English.
Like 1.5 grand.
Yeah, that. And yeah. I know I'm not at the level of that big of a guitar, but I know that this guitar is going to be at my studio for the next fucking 30 years, you know, and it's going to be great. So yeah. It's a good inversion. To me, it cost me around a grand. That's why I bought it. It was with a discount. And the people who represent Ibanez in Chile, they bring it more cheaper.
Yeah,
for example, I was checking prices, and a lot of people in the Team Henson Discord server told me to buy a Charvel because they're cheaper. But yeah, they're cheaper in USA, but not in Chile. And here they cost like $300 bucks more. So it depends on the people who represent the brand.
Mm-hmm. So from the sounds of it, right?
Yeah.
The reason that you chose this particular guitar is so that. Not so that you will have one that complements your current level of ability, because like you had said, you'd stop playing for a while you were focusing on production.
I mean,
you made a purchase as more an investment into your future of playing. You bought a guitar that you can grow into, as opposed to making a temporary purchase where you would end up spending more money in the long run buying a better guitar later on in your career.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean,
that's awesome.
I don't really have to buy another guitar. Like, that's one of the best parts. And it's a guitar that you want to play, that says, play me, please, because it's so comfortable. It sounds so sweet. Mm. It has so many variations in the sound. And as I told you yesterday, it sounds like a Paul Reed Smith, not a Pajares, not a like low class guitar, like a really, really good guitar, like custom shop one, you know. The electric guitar I used to have, it was a Jackson Kelly, which, although it's a good guitar, like it's medium, like in the medium level of guitars. You don't want to play it. It's a big body. It's uncomfortable. It's a weird neck. The frets are not that good lime, so you don't run well in the guitar. Although I used to shred the fuck out of it, now it's way, way more sweet.
That's cool. That's part of the reason I've been saving a little bit on the side so that I can get myself a nice Telecaster. Not because for a while I just decided not to, because I wanted to learn.
Can you please for me test an AC before you buy the Telecaster?
I mean, I'll probably play one if I see one at a shop or something.
Just because I also played a lot of Fenders the last in the summer before all of this COVID shit. Because I was in the search of either a PRS, the Korea edition they made, the Custom 24, it was the one that I was looking for. And I also was looking for a Fender or Gibson. It didn't call me that much, and they like 2 racks, so way too expensive. Trust me, when I tested this guitar, I said, bro, the bridge, the like three options you have with the bridge, there you have the sound between a Telecaster and a Strat. It's so weird, but it's so accurate. Yeah. And when you go to the, in the neck position, and when you go to the bridge position, you can just shred and it sounds like a cool humbucker. You can single it. I don't know. It's like a Strat, but a little bit brighter. So it's kind of like between a Strat and a Tele. So just test it, bro.
I play a Stratocaster. I've had a Stratocaster for about 5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always really liked the sound of Strats because they just... They have a good amount of versatility in what you can play with them. I do like the bright, jangly tones that people bring out of Telecasters. But my personal take on the guitar you purchase is if you don't necessarily... If you're not completely satisfied with the sound that you get out of your guitar out of the box, if you get an electric guitar, I mean, there's so much you can do to change the sound that you're getting out of an electric guitar. You can get a different amp, that'll change the sound. Can switch the pickups, that'll change the sound immensely.
Yeah, but first of all, it brings Seymour Duncan Hyperion, so I don't have the urge of changing them. It's an amazing brand. They've always has been, and for a clear, like, for the people that it's going to listen, I changed the guitar, so I got one. The electronics were fucked up, and they changed it to me today. So pretty good service, to be honest, for a new one. Mm-hmm. Which I'm glad, but at the same time, I'm like, bro, it's. Why the fuck did it happen? I don't know, but it was so weird.
Mm-hmm. I get that.
I've got another question, kind of going in the other direction here, but
okay.
So you've been producing beats for quite a while now.
Yeah.
Hip hop beats. Yeah. And I'm wondering what kind of programs and equipment that you use, like hardware and software. They used to do that because that's always interest of mine.
Yeah, the gear talk is great.
Yeah, I run everything through my Focusrite. I have this called it IG920. The guitar, the microphone, everything passes through there. To a MacBook Pro, I have for monitors the Yamaha HS7. And for producing, I have my machine. I use the machine software. And for recording, I use Live, and sometimes I produce in Live also.
Okay.
Damn, nice.
So that's
basically machine is
a more complex setup than me.
Machine is one hell of a program.
Yeah, and
I've heard a lot of really nice things about Machine.
And having like guitar chug with the guy I'm chugging with, he told me that amps is probably going to die. Because today you can buy, as I told you, you can have my monitors and all I need is the fucking AX8 and bro, I have Jim Henson sound right there. Yeah. They're amazing machines, but also purist guitarists will never like them because they're so, how to say it, new school, digital.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There'll always be those old heads.
Yeah.
You know, like I appreciate a tube amp in the same way that I appreciate things that are recorded fully digitally, yeah, right?
There are
always going to be people that that swing one way or the other.
For playing in my room, to be honest, the Yamaha, since I have like this serious sound and everything, sounds amazing. Like I have no words for it.
Yeah,
my rule of thumb for what's a good method of making music is just, does it sound good? Yes, then it's a good way to make music.
Does your end product sound the way you want it to?
Yep.
Can you get the, can you convey the things you're trying to convey with the equipment you have at your disposal?
Yep.
Then go for it. Make your music.
Mm-hmm. Honestly,
I was talking with a listener of the show earlier today, and I was telling you guys, you and Adrian, Joe, about him last week, how he's started to make music of his own after, you know, listening to the show. And he sent me a little rough cut recording of something he's been working on with his loop pedal. And I just thought it was fucking awesome to hear something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
So, like, whatever you have at your disposal to make music, if you want to make music, just make it.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you want to get to a professional level where you're, you know, making music for a living, then yeah. you got to kind of spend a little bit more and or a lot more in some cases, yeah. depending on what type of music you're making. And just, you know, you got to make those investments. But if you just want to make music, make your music, regardless right. of what you have on hand.
Yeah.
Legit, you can have like an entire wall of analog plug-in ins and outs and through ports, just plugging different synthesizers in, like 1,000 instruments at your disposal, and like the most souped up program, make something amazing with it. But then also you could just have a few pots and pans on the street and make techno music, because why?
Or you could just be me, a boy with his acoustic guitar and a microphone.
Yeah,
like, I mean,
like that's all I have, and that's all I need.
As he was saying, when it comes to urban music, yeah, of course, and that's why I love about it. Like, you just need a computer, yeah. and I know a lot of people that just in FL Studio, Fruity Loops.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In that software, they make fucking magic, and they fill yeah. it up with I don't know, Nexus or Omnisphere or stuff like that, and mm-hmm. good drum sounds, and they make fucking magic. So
yeah.
it's that. I mean, I bought the machine because I don't know. You can say it makes stuff a little bit more easier, but it's really good humanizing your beats. So. That's what I really like about it. And I've been using it.
That's something.
I have the MK2, so I've been using it, I don't know, like 5 to 4 years now.
I have the MK Mini, MPK Mini.
Oh, the Akai one?
In terms of. Yeah, the Akai one, yeah. And it's very nice. I've been using it just to plug in, like, melodies and whatnot. A lot of my songs to give a more natural feel to them, because, you know, typically as a producer, as I've been learning, I started out just drawing notes when I didn't really know how to play a keyboard, but now that I've built some more skill in that way, it's definitely, I feel like my favorite melodies are those that I just play out on a keyboard first and then maybe edit if I have to. And that's something that I feel like every producer or musician, like, figures out over time, is that they just sort of, like, okay, I can make music to the meter, make it produce perfectly to every beat and perfectly to every segment of a bar.
Yeah.
But there's a certain point that you need to humanize it, like, at least give it some more soul and life by just adding something that's a little bit more chaotic to it, you know?
Yeah.
A little imperfection every now and then, because one of the core things about music is the human element. Music is, yep. you know, it's made by people for people to listen to. So it yeah. should sound like it's made by people. There's plenty mm-hmm. of music out there that's incredibly highly polished, and, you know, all the notes are quantized, and there's pitch correction mm-hmm. on vocals to but make everything sound
you know what?
So when, perfect.
When I entered the label, I was like, kind of, this is one of the reasons why I left it. I was kind of first to make, like, radio aim music, you know? Like, more pop music, more pop drums, more stuff that... And I had to make so much of it that I end up hating it. So, I found it so plastic. That's why I got shocked when I found out about Ichika, about Polyphia, because it wasn't plastic. It was so fucking human, and it's another world. And I think that, to be honest, it's very I don't know if underrated, but not that known as it should be.
And honestly, that feedback, that's some of the feedback that I've gotten on just my demos that I've released, right? People saying that they love it because it's just raw and pure. Yeah. And honestly, that's the best compliment to me, because that's all I kind of set out to do.
Right.
I don't set out to make the biggest high quality studio quality songs. I set out to make something short and sweet that you can relate to. And if you tell me that I accomplished that, I'm good.
Mission accomplished. You know? Yeah, exactly. But I kind of want to circle back a little bit.
Yeah.
Because there was a point that I had tried to make earlier, but the conversation just carried, about using the equipment that you have at your disposal. Mm-hmm. So as far as equipment is concerned, I have a good amount of equipment. I have so much equipment that I can't bring it all with me wherever I go. I have to, whenever I travel, if I'm going to bring any equipment with me, I have to kind of make a decision. Like, there's the baseline, right, which is my laptop, my microphone, and my audio interface. If I want to bring anything else, I have to sort of pick and choose. Like, the last time that I went to North Carolina to visit, I brought my my PV Prowler tube amplifier. And since I've been using that amp, I've noticed it sounds really good for certain applications. But I've noticed for a lot of recording purposes, I do not use that amp for recording practically anything, because either my tones are really clean, and I've been adding a bit more sparkle to them, or they are dirty, chunky, really heavily distorted, and my amp is not really built for those heavily distorted sounds. It's made for maybe a little overdrive and not a whole lot else.
I mean, yeah, that's why you have like more you have amp brands that are more focused into metal, and you have amp brands that are more focused into progressive jazz, alternative music, you know?
Yeah. Well, like, it's interesting that my amp isn't really as good with heavy distortion, given the fact that it is a PV amp, and PV is
pretty heavily associated
with like heavier distortion. Whereas this one, the one that I have, is not all that. It's not all that attuned to it. I've actually noticed that amp is really, really good for stuff like pop punk, or maybe something with just that a little touch of distortion. But for heavier distortion, I've noticed that I really, really, really prefer using some of the built-in amp modification or amp simulation that is in
Ableton. I have around 50 amps in my computer, 100, I don't know, but a lot. Right now I'm using a Vox that it's supposedly microphoned by two U87s in LR configuration. Tell me if you can hear, please.
I could hear that. That sounded... That's a nice tone. I really like that tone.
It sounds so sweet. And I don't know, I have this love for digital world that nobody can take away, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like even through the cell phone compression, you can tell how sweet it was.
Yeah, no.
That'll definitely sound better with the high quality.
I might have to actually listen back to something just to hear the higher quality of that. I can really take it in. But there's actually, I've seen a lot of advertisement online for amp modeling, and there's actually some groups that tour the world that use amp modeling.
I mean, it's so much comfortable thing that when I went to watch Rage Against the Machine, they ordered another, I mean, they were flying in the tour with another plane, and the other plane only carried the equipment for the band. So
yeah,
having only the AX8, the pedal board, or the Kemper, which is the competition, or I don't know, the Line 6 or whatever you have, it's so much comfortable, you know, unless you still have like a brand contract with Marshall or whatever that the brand has to show in your videos and in your live shows. I mean, you just connect, you go right into the mix board through DPA and bye bye.
I have a friend who either is or was licensed by Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of grew a pretty substantial following here in the States for a while. She plays alongside Nita Strauss in one of her bands. And if you don't know who Nita Strauss is, she is the lead guitarist for Alice Cooper.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so it was interesting, actually. Nita came to Pittsburgh and did a little thing at the Guitar Center near me. And then after that was a meet and greet. And it was kind of interesting talking to someone who is a music celebrity who has appeared on the cover of magazines and have a mutual friend that we both know, that we both have. And where I was going with that is the fact that like you were saying, Lennon, about having, if you're signed with a brand, you have to show that you are using their equipment.
Yeah.
That amp was sitting right there, big on stage. Her stack was about as big as she is. And granted, she's kind of tiny, but a tiny person is still a big size for an amp stack. And granted, the tone was immaculate from what I could hear based on the small size of the venue and the loud volume of the music. We all know how local shows can be. And that was one thing that kind of blew me away whenever I saw that is, holy crap, she's out here making moves. She's out here really, like, going places. And I was happy. Chris remembers whenever a lot of that stuff happened, because I would talk about it, because I would be really excited for my friend. And
I was around.
The fact that there are groups out there, though, that use AMP modeling, like, one that immediately comes to mind is one that I've seen twice now live. They're a Pink Floyd cover band by the name of Brit Floyd, and their tones are all, and they will literally, they might actually be signed with this particular software brand, because they say right at the beginning of the show on the projector screen, it says all tones are provided by Axe FX.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, then they're definitely sponsored.
I mean, I know that the thing of the contract, because I study like sound engineering, and I have this this course where you have to do event production, and the teacher I had used to have a lot of like background in music. And yeah, he used to watch Iron Maiden, Metallica, I don't know, a lot of recognized bands. And on stage, they have the Marshall, they have the Lannis, they have whatever they have. And you go backstage, behind the stage, and literally there is the fucking Kemper or the Fractal AX8 running, simulating a Mesa Boogie and going directly to the board. So... if you think that they're still playing with amps, you're getting kind of cheated.
It's sort of like, I don't know if any of you guys have seen the picture, but it's a picture from, I think it was an AC/DC show. And they have just this huge wall of Marshall cabs. And only two out of the easily 10 in the picture, only two are mic'd up, which means those are the only two cabs that are actually sending any sound out, and I can guarantee you it's just loud enough to get picked up by the mic so that the mic can run it out to the PA.
If you watch Scott Liebage rig rundown, there's two on YouTube. I don't know, one of those two, I don't remember which channel uploaded. But there's one where he has like a lot of orange stuff in the background, but in the front there's the AX8 pedal board, and it's like, why is the and of the orange stuff there was like four like head amps, and only one was real. The other one were wood made.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Fucking wild.
People is getting cheated.
So yeah.
Wanna hear the last beat project I have?
Sure. Why not?
That's chesty shit.
Let's see how this goes.
Can you hear?
Yep.
Yeah.
Just a little preview.
I can already...
Just a little preview.
Little preview.
A little testing.
I'm cool with that.
I like that.
I'm cool with that.
You see...
Just a little taste.
Just a little taste. Don't take this the wrong way, because that was really great. my mind went immediately to, like, an AMV anime music video. with that beat, because like there's a lot of motion in it, and I can imagine somebody cutting up an anime
and some fight scenes.
Yeah.
No, I get you. I feel you.
I fuck with it though.
But that was good, and it's definitely. I'm gonna have to listen back to my own podcast again so that I can hear that in higher quality.
I love all you, my little wee boys.
Hey, that's a different show, right, Levi?
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah! Check out the Grim Cash Weep Show every Friday.
Except, no, don't, because Levi is a bitch.
Right, Levi?
Yeah.
Cool. He said yeah.
He said yeah. He agreed.
Oh, holy shit.
At least he's self-aware.
Oh, but yeah. So, moving on to my next topic. I wanted to... Adrian almost fucking died. He just leaned back in the stool and almost fucking fell backwards and ate shit. That was hilarious. He wouldn't have died, but...
It would have not been fun.
Yeah, no. It would have been fun as fuck for me and Levi.
Anyway.
Anyway.
Visual jokes out of the way. I wanted to move on to my next point of discussion, and that's I'm curious. Whenever I talk to people from other countries, especially when I talk to people about music, I like to kind of get to understand what music scenes are like in other countries. What's the music scene like in Chile?
Okay, so basically right now everything is being ordered by Warner, Universal, and Sony. if you wanna like resume that shit, yeah, all of those assholes are getting their money and everything and whatever. Like, it's just how it is, and people are trying to call the attention of those labels. And I mean, I don't know what you say about it, because I know how it works. So they basically buy all your music. And they pay you, and then you sign a contract for 2 years where you need to do whatever they say for them.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say names, because I don't like to like do free publicity to people that I don't work with. But yeah, I mean, people who knows, you know, people who know who is signed with who. Knows why they changed their sound, why now they're so poppy, like in a pop way, and all of that shit.
Okay, so here's a question that just came to me.
Okay.
If I went to meet you in Chile, and you wanted to show me like local artists in the area, what kind of music would we be finding? In terms of like local artists, and you can talk more generally about like just the genres of music in Chile, anyways, because I would like to know that too.
In terms of gender, what is sounding? You're only going to find urban music. Everything that's urban, like band form, it's considered more like underground. There's not a big rock scene or a lot of like rockers nowadays, so. Basically, everybody wanna make trap or reggaeton or dancehall or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
You know, I tried. I kind of started digging it, but to be honest, it's so plastic. It ended up boring me.
Yeah, I understand that. When I go to Mexico, that's one of the biggest things. Is like, in Mexico, you have two options for music. You either have your big band rancheras with your that's racist. You either have your big band rancheras and stuff like that, or you have reggaeton. Those are your only two options in Mexico. And like, and obviously they branch off a little bit because there's subgenres and stuff like that. But for the most part, that's what you get. And that's why, like, when I go to Mexico, and if we're having like a party or something, because when we go to Mexico, we always have big parties. We always, you know, cook out, buy like 200 bottles of beer, and invite like 5 people over.
And your fucking funeral. They will make a fucking barbecue in your funeral.
Hell yeah, they will. Fuck yeah, they will.
Listen.
Everything's so
if
funny.
There's anything I've heard about Mexicans and the way that they party, it is that a Mexican will party because they got a job. And then after, if they were to lose said job, they would party because they lost said job.
Yep.
They will also party just because it's Friday and they've got time.
Bro, they drink tequila. They don't fuck around. Like, what do they drink?
The fucking most alcohol we do find. Not. They made not tequila. Even, not even. They do not fuck around.
Nah, hold on. Listen, not even like bottled ass tequila. I'm talking some dude's uncle brought you a plastic bottle with some dark yellow liquid and said, drink it. It's good for you. That's what we're talking about, okay?
Why do I feel like you're talking from personal experience?
Why do you feel like I'm talking from personal experience about that? The last time I went to fucking Mexico and we walked up to my fucking uncle's house and we went upstairs into his house and he had 6 plastic old water bottles full of different colored liquids and just said, take them with you, drink them, drink it all, drink it right here, right now. And I drank the whole one and I don't remember a damn thing for the next 2 days. Yeah. Yeah, that's what we're fucking talking about. That's what we're fucking talking about. But no, what I was saying is, whenever we're having one of those little parties, I'll always grab my guitar and I'll go and I'll play some different music for them. Because even if it's in English, like, I've seen some of the people in my hometown in Mexico, when I start playing, like, I've seen couples just like hold hands and just like sway back and forth. not knowing that it's a love song, but they can feel it, right?
Yeah.
And it's great to be able to show people different kinds of music that they wouldn't hear otherwise.
Well, see, and that's so. That kind of continues the thing that I've said for about as long as I've really thought about music at this level. But, like, it really is true that music is the language of the soul.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It really is.
Fucking one thing I've always appreciated about the internet, the rise of the internet, is that I've been introduced to so many different kinds of music that I would never have known.
We can just listen to music made in any country now, and that's fucking insane.
Jamaican dude who only has one string on his guitar, brushy one string.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Bet. Like, music that just even 20 years ago people didn't know existed is just available now.
Yeah.
And, like,
I can go listen to fucking Robert Johnson just off of YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the fucking king of the Delta blues. Dude. I can go back and listen to a fucking, like, dance mix of some folk song, like, made back in the 80s or something.
Yeah. I can listen to covers of literal ancient songs. What? Sure. Fuck it. Let me hear all your weird world music.
Gregorian chant, my guy. Let's get it.
I'm Let's go.
Staring hard at Rob Scallon and that one video he released recently in which he had a returning guest. And they went through the evolution from old Arabic. I forget the name of the instrument exactly, but it was the precursor to the European lute, to the specifically the Italian lute, all the way through to the modern six-string steel string guitar. And that wasn't something that you could do just 20 years ago. And the fact that it's readily accessible for free on YouTube. That's something that you wouldn't have thought 20 years ago would be a thing, is all of these different varieties of music. All of these different ways to access the music that you want to listen to. It's easier now than ever before to discover new music. And you know, that's kind of why, I say that, like, if you are the kind of person who says, oh, there's just no good music being released these days,
you are not looking hard
enough. You are really not looking hard enough, because
because you don't even have to look that goddamn hard.
One of my favorite guitarists, one of my favorite guitarists, he's so good that I literally do not ever think I will be good, like, good enough to even cover one of his songs. John Gomm.
I love that dude.
Fucking insane.
Yeah, John Gomm's fucking insane. He released a new one recently.
I heard it. And I was like, fuck.
It is so good. Shout out to John Gomm. Chrysalis, we got to discuss that one sometime.
We absolutely speaking will. Of music history and internet, one thing that I love to see, especially about our generation, and even like some of the millennial and even boomer generation, is how much of like classic rock hits from like the 50s and 60s was like, oh, like Elvis and whatnot, Rolling Stones, all those people. Can I... And it's like, oh yeah, wait a second, a black person made that music first. And it's like, oh, well, ain't that the shit?
Yeah.
I mean, like, you start to discover, because of this access in the internet, so much more depth to what music is and where it comes from, and like shit, dude.
The internet is a blessing and a curse for many reasons, but it's a blessing because it gives us such easy access.
Yeah, I have my own. How do you say? Discuss. So, in a server on Discord, I don't want to say which one. A lot of people. When I say a lot is a lot, told me that wood doesn't matter on a guitar. That's bullshit. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is wrong with bullshit. You? By the way, can we curse? I've been cursing this whole...
Oh, yeah, okay. Dude, bro. Yeah. Nobody gives a fuck. It's podcast, bro.
They ain't even... Get your cunt peen off.
What? Shut the fuck up, Adrian. I said it for you, Joe. I'm sorry. I couldn't stop myself.
It's fine. It's fine, because it's always stronger when I say it.
Shut the fuck up, Adrian.
I cunt.
But no.
So yeah, I was like, what is wrong with you? I mean, wood is basically everything. That's why this Ibanez sounds like a fucking Fender, because the wood is more... I don't want to say more heavy. It's more dense.
Yeah. So, I know, like, Fender uses a lot of maple and alder,
and that shit dance.
And like my acoustic is it's a primarily mahogany construction with a spalted maple veneer on the faceplate. And the warmth that guitar has tonally is rich. I cannot believe that I got that guitar for the price that I got it for, because it plays like a guitar that easily costs 4 to 5 times as much.
Yeah.
Can I just make a quick shout out to all the instrument manufacturers out there actually putting out good, like really awesome, amazing instruments?
Yeah, I also want to say that Gibson has been bullshit since like 2006 and before, because since before they used to make more shit. But the thing is that the new 2020 models of the Les Paul, although they are like $2,500 guitars, now they're amazing. I mean, it's a body of one or two pieces max, and yeah, neck through. Basically, they're back to their 60 models. They wanted to go back, and I found that finally, like, such a known and reach out brand, it's caring about the people. I also heard that the new owner is like the same owner as Levi's or some shit like that. But congrats for him for doing something great.
Yeah. Honestly.
Because for a while there, if you bought a Gibson, you were mostly paying for the name on the headstock.
Yeah, when they were doing the cheesy models and like the Les Pauls that had the holes, so they were lighter. Oh, they were such bullshit guitars.
You know, the one Gibson thing that irritated me the most was the fucking auto-tuning headstock.
Oh my god.
They introduced that shit in like 2008 and it was fucking bullshit. It used to fucked up all the time.
It's
so bad.
They really tried back in, what was it, 2016, 2017, because they had that self-tuning bullshit at NAMM, and I think that only existed on their guitars for like, I want to say, one or two years before they were like,
I want to say it was 2 years. Yeah,
yeah, like,
so I want to explain it, because Adrian gave me this look of what the fuck when I said that. No, I do not mean auto tune. I mean automatically tuning.
Yeah. That's so what I figured.
Yeah, so you push a button and it fucking spins the tuners for you and tunes itself.
they were prone to breaking a lot. And yeah, they did not tune the guitar well at all.
No. There's some things you literally just... You need
if you're a guitarist and you're too lazy to fucking turn a tuning peg, just stop.
If you're a guitarist and you're too lazy to twist a tuning peg, then I'm sure you can find an old 80s Roland electronic... Mm-hmm. pseudo guitar.
I mean, my Jackson used to have a Floyd Rose, and not like the premium one, but like the Floyd Rose made for Jackson, or made by Jackson, endorsed by Floyd Rose. I have no fucking idea. I used to go out of tune all the time, and it sucked dick. Man, now with the Godo head login tuners, oh my god, the stability of this guitar is out of this world.
Oh shit. It has fucking Godo tuners.
Godo tuners and Godo bridge.
Oh my god. All right, that thing. All right.
Joe is hard now.
those tuners, no, but those tuners are among the best tuners that you can get on the market. Like, those are really, really good.
I mean,
tuners,
excuse
man.
Me a little bit. Let me show this. I'm not Tim Henson, I'm sorry. But then, when you play a G, it sounds perfectly in tune.
What kind of nut does it have?
Yeah. Huh?
What kind of nut?
The Graftich.
See, that's gonna get you some good tuning stability as well, because those things, the Graftech nuts allow the strings to slide within those slots and return right back to neutral.
And stainless steel frets.
No fucking wonder that guitar is pricey.
Exactly.
Every single thing, every single thing that you've just named is expensive, but for good reason.
Yeah. High quality.
It's a good ass guitar, boys.
Mm-hmm. To me, I don't know. The guitar especially is, it's such a simple instrument in concept, but whenever it's made, to be properly made, it requires so much intelligence and complex, like, thinking and getting all just, like, the strings right in terms of tuning, in terms of, like, the body, what would you use, the shape of it,
yeah,
the necks, what, the bridge, fucking, dude. It's wild to think about.
There's so much variability between each and every guitar, and even each and every individual guitar of a single line. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just great to compare. That's why I love going to guitar shops.
Oh yeah,
and just playing different guitars, because it's great to compare the differences and the similarities and kind of figure out which one feels and sounds the best for what you're trying to do. Yep. And going back to the very beginning, when I was talking about the Telecaster, the type of music that I make and the type of music that I hope to make in the future, like, Telecasters just provide the right level of twinkle that I need.
Chris.
Yeah, what's up?
There's your Telecaster.
Yes, but my Telecaster won't be $1,500.
You got me.
Yeah. Oh.
So anyway, you're buying a Mexican one.
We are going to be...
the guitar of my people.
So, we're going to start winding down here. We're reaching the end of our little adventure with our good friend. And I just want to thank you for being the first guest on the show.
Thank you, guys.
And for being so cool about coming out here, talking about guitars and music and bullshit, having some good laughs. It's great. And you're welcome to come back anytime. You want?
Yeah, of course. When I start implementing my guitar in my beats, when I feel comfortable enough with my playing,
yeah, let's do it. You're again. Welcome to come back anytime.
Oh, yeah. And take this as a warning or a compliment. If you don't come back, we'll come to you.
Okay. I will wait.
I'm scared. I'm scared of whatever the fuck that means.
I will wait for you, no problem.
Thanks, thank you.
Anyway, I'll just let you go ahead and, shout out anybody you want to. Just yourself, talk about where people can find you, stuff that you make, and we'll get out of here.
Right now, I'm not in love with social media, so you can find me at 23K Beats, but I'm not active because... I'm studying this shit.
yeah.
What else? Shout out to Salmon, to LPC, to Baby A, to Malos Hábitos, to Mara Funky, to all of my crew in Chile. I love you all, and thank you all for your support, and yeah, that shit. Shout out to all my listeners, too. I know there are. I know you're listening there. I love you all, too.
Hell yeah. And he's also in our Discord server, so if you're ever in here and you see some dude named Lennon, you know who you're talking to.
Yep.
Also, shout out to all the Fingerboards guys.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Fingerboards got us here, boys. Fingerboards got us here.
Fingerboard.
You all thought it was a fucking joke. You all thought it was a fucking joke, but here I am.
Propped up by proven. Fingerboarding clout.
Fingerboarding saved my life. Anyway, as always, you can head on down to the links in the description below, check out our Discord server, follow us, listen to all of our music, and We will see you guys next week on the next episode. We're recording this in advance, so I can't think off the top of my head which one that'll be. It'll be 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be 7.
Yeah.
It'll be 7. So we'll see you guys then. I've been your host, Chris, joined by Adrian.
Hello.
And Joe.
Hello.
And our good friend,
Lennon. Bye, boys.
We'll see you guys soon.
Yeah.
Bye.